This is The Radical Therapist, a space where we explore the intersections of collaborative therapy, philosophy, art, and science and technology in a post-Freud, post-psychology world.
Welcome to The Radical Therapist. This is your host, Chris Hoff, and we are now at episode number 64. And in today's episode, we're going to dive into the practice of undercover anti-bullying teams with Stephanie Fletcher and Michelle Myers, two folks who probably have done, more of these than anybody in the country, in the United States, at least, as far as I know. And so I would be willing to bet on it. But so we got a lot of wisdom on the show today. So if you're working in any kind of context, it doesn't have to be specifically schools, but if you're working in any context where bullying might be a problem, this is a must listen for you. But before we get there, I just wanted a couple of quick announcements. I'm going to be talking, I'm doing a talk, I guess, at the plenary. At the American Family Therapy Academy conference, which is coming up pretty quick, June 20th through the 22nd. And if you're going to be in or near Oakland, California on June 20th or 22nd, maybe think about coming to the American Family Therapy Academy conference. This year's theme is going to be Rupture and Repair, Remaking Relationships in Families and Communities. And I'm going to be doing a little piece on, I'm going to show a video where I really do a not so great job with a client, she's talking about something very important and I really kind of mess it up. And then I'm going to show a video of the following session where I move or attempt to repair and then have a conversation about some ideas or some influences or what I've been thinking about in regards to rupture and repair. So come on out for that. You get to see me, mess up. I think it'll be interesting because, most people show their best work at these kinds of things. I'm going to show my worst. So at least come out for that. And also, if you have a chance, please rate and review the show if you're listening, whatever you're listening to it on. But if you're on iTunes, it would be much appreciated if you subscribed and then rated and reviewed the show. From what I understand, that's how we get out in front of people. So that would be much appreciated. But let's get right into our show. I'm going to introduce you to Stephanie Fletcher and Michelle Myers. Michelle, we'll start with Michelle. And I have the privilege, I get to teach with Michelle. So we taught a conflict resolution course together. It just finished this last week, and it's so fun to teach with her because I learn while I get to sit and co-teach with Michelle in this class, and it's just so much experience there. It's just awesome. Anyway, Michelle Myers has 17 years of experience in public education. She currently serves as a program specialist for San Bernardino City Unified School District, specializing in restorative justice and positive behavior interventions and support approaches to prevent and intervene with bullying. She serves on the SBCUSD crisis team. Michelle is also an adjunct faculty at California State University San Bernardino with us, where she teaches graduate level counseling courses. Her background includes working as a school counselor, a guest teacher for K-12, and a teacher's assistant for the University Center for Developmental Disabilities. And Stephanie Fletcher, Michelle's partner in the crisis team over there. Stephanie Fletcher has over 11 years of experience in public education. She currently serves as a program specialist for San Bernardino City Unified School District, specializing in restorative justice and positive behavioral interventions and support approaches to prevent and intervene with bullying. She has also served on the district's crisis team for 13 years now as a team lead and a lead planner. And Stephanie is also senior adjunct faculty at University of Laverne and adjunct faculty at Cal Baptist University, where she teaches graduate level courses. Her background includes being a school counselor and a dropout prevention specialist. So lots of wisdom here. This is a great, like I said, if you're experiencing any kind of working in any kind of context where bullying might be a problem, this is for you. Let's get to the show. All right. Welcome to the show, Stephanie and Michelle. Very excited to have you here.
Hello. Happy to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here too.
Great. Okay. Let's get rolling. I'm really excited. I think I was telling you before we turned on the microphones that I've been getting some emails from listeners that really appreciate the show, and like we cover a lot of theory, but I'm getting emails they really appreciate when we do shows around practice and really get kind of go deep into practice. So, which is what we're going to do today around undercover anti-bullying teams. And you two, as far as I know, you probably have done more of these than anybody in the country, right? Is that safe to say?
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I know you've done a ton of circles and what have you. And so, so you're really embedded in this work in a really rich way. And so, I just am excited to have you here to talk about this. But before we get into the specifics of undercover anti-bullying teams, I'm wondering if you could share with us how you got introduced to undercover anti-bullying teams.
Sure. Well, right now my position is a program specialist at Youth Services.
And this is Michelle, right?
Michelle Myers. Hello. Yeah. Again. But before this position, I was an elementary school counselor in San Bernardino City Unified School District. And I was fortunate to be trained and taught by Dr. John Winslade, professor at Cal State, who is from New Zealand. And he and Michael Williams co-authored this unique, very playful approach to undercover anti-bullying teams. And I believe his first article was published in 2007, and it was a 6-page article at the time, an idea, a really unique restorative way to approach bullying. And I thought this was a genius approach, and I was looking forward to my first bullying case as a counselor to really step into it and try it. And I knew it was going to work.
So you found it as it was just kind of an idea that Mike Williams had put forward in a paper?
Yeah. So Mike Williams is a high school counselor in New Zealand, and Dr. John Winslade, professor at Cal State, they co-authored this approach because Mike Williams was having some pretty vicious bullying cases. And so they brainstormed around how they could resolve it using a restorative and then also blended with narrative lens. At the time when I read the 6-page article, I didn't really know it was an idea. I thought they already did it and was executed and proven to be effective. So I thought, Dr. Winslade, everything he writes, it's always effective. It always works. So, of course it's going to work, right? Mm-hmm. So I was really oddly looking forward to a bullying case so I could try it because I just knew it was going to work because he already did it in my mind.
Right. How about you, Stephanie?
So I was introduced by Michelle, actually, when she moved into a position as a program specialist before me. And she offered a training to all of the elementary school counselors, as well as middle and high school counselors. But I was at that time an elementary school counselor. And so she did a few day training on the undercover teams, and that was in 2014. Mm-hmm. And so that was how I was introduced. I'm second generation through Michelle.
Got it. Okay. Can you maybe spend, just so I know a ton of people listening probably don't know what an undercover anti-bullying team is. Can you basically maybe before we get into the process of it, describe the concept a little bit?
Sure. Well, before we describe the process, I kind of want to mention that there's a lot of different approaches to bullying interventions. I mean, we always hear that this is a pretty big, hot topic, like the big buzzword that you hear in media, parents, students, schools. But the issue is a lot of people don't know what to do. They hear that word often, but they don't really know what to do once bullying occurs in their classroom or in their school. And so the undercover anti-bullying team is a very unique approach that focuses on how can we invite students to be a part of the solution rather than looking for students to shame and blame and punish It really invites the most powerful kids, either in the classroom or that grade level or within the school, that can really influence kids to change just the whole dynamic of bullying and change the student's experience. So the whole premise is, let's repair the relationship rather than punish students.
Okay, so I guess maybe to start, before we get in again, get into the process, how do you conceptualize bullying?
So originally, bullying has been defined as like an aggressive behavior towards somebody else. It's most likely repeated. There's a power imbalance. And in recent years, there's been a shift where we're looking for three main things, and I'll talk about that in a second. But really, the shift of understanding of bullying is that it's not a pathological behavior of a person. It's this person is policing social norms, and so it's not turning somebody into whatever that behavior is anymore. And so when we look at what bullying really means, we look at these three different areas. And the first area is it repeated or pervasive? And when we look at, sometimes bullying doesn't have to be repeated, because right now, if you look at social media, one post is all it takes for somebody to get bullied. And thousands and thousands of people can look and see, and it's so huge. And there needs to be this intention behind the bullying, this misbehavior. And then the third component is that there is a power imbalance, whatever that power imbalance might be. And it could be a physical imbalance, it could be social, it could be intellectual. So many different types of power imbalances, but those are the things that we look for when we're trying to understand, is this bullying? And the one thing that we often miss is that this is from the perception of the student who is getting bullied, and the effects of all of this that's happening to them.
So I think the main thing we want listeners to take away from that is, it's not really a type of person who bullies or a type of kid who gets bullied. It's really, we as a society have socially constructed this idea of bullying and really inadvertently taught kids to not accept differences and to not value diversity. And so they're actually just taking up the responsibility of policing those things they were already taught.
That's great. Okay. Would you consider this a restorative practice? And maybe for our listeners, what is the premise of restorative justice?
Yeah, it's highly restorative. So I'm going to read a quote that we often use, the premise of restorative justice. Quote, human beings are happier, more cooperative and productive, and more likely to make positive changes in their behavior when those in positions of authority do things with them rather than to them or for them. And we believe that this approach, even though it has a narrative lens, it's restorative, highly restorative as well, because it focuses on the relationship. It also focuses on including all of the people who are affected. So the student who is responsible for doing the worst bullying, the student who's getting bullied, and then also those in the community, the students, the leaders in the school community are also involved in the entire process. And so rather than us focusing on the laws or the rules or the expectations of bullying, we don't focus on ed code and you'll get in trouble or you get suspended or you could get expelled or arrested. We really focus on the relationship and focus on having the students understand the impact of the behavior and how people and relationships are actually damaged and harmed. So the kids are harmed by the bullying, and then there's this ripple effect where their families are affected, the school community is affected, and that's what we focus on rather than, okay, if you do this again, you're going to get what you deserve. It's really, how are we going to make this right and change the experience of the student who's getting bullied.
Great. Okay. Now, would it be, now is it okay if you run, I actually know the process because of you, Michelle, but I'm sure our listeners now want to know, but would it be possible, but I'm going to still be very curious, but I want to know if it'd be possible to have us run us through the process kind of step by step of how to do an undercover anti-bullying team.
Sure. So the first part of an undercover anti-bullying team is just screening a student. And we're going to use a story that Michelle and I both helped facilitate an undercover team. So our story is about a girl named Allie, and a middle school reached out to us at the district office, and they were just at a loss. They did not know what to do with this student. Parent was very upset. She was ready to call the media, talk to the board. She had friends that know people on the board. And the girl, Allie, had been put on a 72-hour hold for suicide. And just everybody was frustrated. They didn't know what to do. So Michelle and I came in and we screened the student. We got her story about what had been happening, the effects of everything that had been happening. And we scaled her on a scale of 0 to 10. How bad was the problem of bullying? And she said it was a 35.
Wow, yeah.
And the girl who was doing the most of the bullying, her name, Carla, she's so charismatic that nobody believed that she would stop the bullying. And they called her the girl who ran the eighth grade. So we knew that we had to really do something and make sure that we got a team together of the students who would be able to stand up for what was right. So once we got Allie's story, we went over it with her, and we went line by line for her story, and she gave us permission to share with the team once we met with the team. So we went through that story, and we also asked her, what would it look like if there was no bullying? What would your day look like? What would it feel like? How would you be? And so that wish, which is what we call it, is what we work toward and what we share with the team once we help create the team. So that's the first thing that we do, is that just screening of the student and determining whether or not it's bullying behavior. Mm-hmm. And so then we pick the team. So we had to go through with Allie, figure out everybody in the class. We went through rosters with her and figure out the students who, when they say something, people listen. So these are the students with social influence. Mm-hmm. And because Carla was doing such vicious bullying, she was using social media. She was getting other students to really say vicious things to her during lunchtime and in passing period, that we decided traditionally you have a team of 4 students with high standing, positive peer relations, and then you pick the 2 students who are doing the worst of the bullying. And what we decided to do was double that number of students with positive peer influence. So we had to come up with 8 or 9, was it, Michelle?
Yeah, it was double the size of a team.
Yeah, so like 9 students with positive peer influence. And we talked with Allie, we went to the 2 VPs and teachers just to confirm and make sure that these are the right students for the team. And then we also asked Allie, who are the 2 students who are doing the worst of the bullying? And she was hesitant at first to tell us and to even say, okay, they can be on the team, because she was like, they're doing all of this stuff. How is this going to even work? Mm. And how are they going to change their behavior? Mm. So we met with the team, and even before the team started, we knew we had the right team because these two girls come in who are doing the worst of the bullying, and other team members said, hey, this isn't funny. Why are you laughing about this? And it had nothing to do with what we were going to say, but they were just using their influence. So we knew right away, even before the team started, even before we introduced ourselves, that we had the right team. Mm. And it was absolutely amazing. It was because we were, you know, this is a special case that we had. So we introduced ourselves to the team and we told them that we had a mission for them. And so we go through, what is their mission? And we tell them what we need. We also say, this is so important that the adults on campus cannot get this to change. And if you accept this mission, then there will be an amazing celebration. And we provide parent letters to them. And so it becomes this shift of, we're not talking about anything that anyone has done wrong. We are only talking about the experience of one student who needs help and needs their experience to change. So we kind of sell this positiveness to the students, and we haven't even mentioned Allie's name yet. Mm. And so we get in to let them understand why they're needed. And then we say, we're going to tell you a story in the first person. And we're leaving out every single name. So nobody gets shamed or blamed. And we read the story to the students and we stop halfway and we ask them, what would it be like if this was happening to you? How would you feel? And so we're building that empathy. And we finish the story and we look around the room and we say, go one by one around the room and we ask, are you willing to accept this mission? And, you know, what's amazing is that none of the students said that they weren't willing.
Mm. That was pretty powerful. And so after they accepted this challenge, then they just got right to work on, if this was happening to you, then what would you want this team to do for you? What would you want kids to do for you? So we invite them to create a very simple plan. It could be 5-6 steps. And it's based on the student's story. And it usually they establish a plan that's super simple. Things like, we'll invite them to lunch. We'll walk with this. We'll walk with Allie to and from class. We'll just be around her. We'll tell kids to stop messing with her. Because it was vicious cyberbullying, they even came up with different ideas about just starting a movement against bullying. Like, maybe what we'll do is if we see a post, we'll make sure we're all friends with her, first of all. And then any post, we'll report the post, we'll block the students, and then we'll push back against it with all the comments.
Yeah.
So we'll start with, this isn't funny, this isn't cool, leave her alone. So they really created this very unique, complex plan. Just to really support and just build this community of care around this kiddo who picked them. Hmm. So after they make their plan, then we just send them out into the community and tell them that your plan starts as soon as you walk out of this room. And then that's when the progress monitoring begins. So as soon as they leave that first initial session, we give them a few days to start their plan and get things going. And then we have the first progress monitoring session with the kiddo who's getting bullied, Allie in this case. We waited for a few days to pass, and then we pulled her out of class and asked her, hey, how are things going? Are things getting better? Do you notice a difference? She doesn't know exactly the details of the plan, but we just ask her to pay attention. And from that very first meeting is when she said she noticed a huge difference right away. It was scaled down from a 35 to, like, I think the first progress monitoring session was like a 7 or something.
Wow.
Like that.
Yeah. Wow.
And then we invite her to share specific feedback from every single person on the team. So, you know, what has Carla been doing? What has Joseph been doing? What is George and Tiffany? And specific things like, oh, well, so-and-so asked me, you know, to sit at lunch with them. This person stood up for me in the lunch line. I had 3 kids walk me to class every day. 1 kid even walked me home. And we write all of that down, and then we use that feedback to share with the first progress monitoring team meeting. And the kids love, they absolutely love hearing the feedback from the student they're supporting. So at that first team progress monitoring meeting, usually the kids are so eager, they're so excited. Before we even start, they'll usually start sharing stories like, oh my gosh, I stood up for her in the lunch line and I did this and I did that. And once we start sharing the specific feedback, like Carla, you know, Allie said that you did this for her and this was really helpful and this was really helpful. The kids start just eagerly and excitedly saying like, well, did she mention that, you know, I helped her in class? Did she mention my name? Did she say this? Did she say that? They just get really excited about the difference that they're making. And so we alternate those meetings between the individual session with the student, Allie, and then with the team. We just keep alternating those progress monitoring sessions until everything is scaled down to a zero. And once that student's experience, she says or he says that my wish has come true, the team has accomplished their mission. And kids have different wishes or preferences. They might say, I want my reputation to be repaired. I just wish I had friends. Or I wish kids were just nice to me or I felt safe. Once that is accomplished, then we know that the team has done their job. And then it's time to disband and celebrate. And so the kids during that progress monitoring time, sometimes they can't even wait until we have the progress monitoring team meeting. Sometimes they have little secret meetings either in the hallway at secondary or on the playground at elementary, and they'll ask the student, hey, what's the problem rated at? Are we getting closer to a zero? It was a 7 last time. Is it a 3 now? Are we doing better? Is it a 2? And so sometimes before we even share an update with them, they're already telling us, oh, we already know it's a 1. We asked them, it's a 1. So we already know what work we need to do. And so they get pretty excited about the difference that they're making. And they just feel super empowered that, wow, we were picked for this process. That's pretty prestigious that grownups couldn't get this to stop and you are relying on us. And so once their wish has come true, then we tell them, okay, you guys have accomplished your mission. It's time to disband the team and celebrate. And then this is a pretty important celebration. We always want to make sure that the principal of the school is the one who awards this team. Even if you have to prepare all the celebration materials for the principal, because I know they're pretty busy. And even if they only have 3.5 minutes out of their day, we always urge that you need to make that time to come and celebrate this team, because these are the kids that are making the difference on your campus and helping your school to be safer and helping kids to remain engaged and remain at school. So right. Principal comes, they say their speech, and the kids feel pretty powerful and pretty proud of the work that they've done. They receive their certificates, and it's pretty much a celebration. And we invite the student who is being supported to the process. And most importantly, we always invite the team to plan for the future. So we don't want to pull the rug from under the kid who's getting supported and then they just don't have support after the celebration. We tell them, you guys have accomplished your mission, but how can we plan for the future? How can we ensure that this student has support for the rest of the year and even as they transition to middle school or high school or the next grade level? Mm-hmm. So the kids will come up with a plan at that celebration or the meeting after about the future and how they can continue being an agent of change and support. And that's pretty much the process. It's really easy. Whoever the intervention is usually the counselor. They always say that there's not very much planning involved. They don't need to do lesson plans, group plans, all those kind of things that you normally would do as a counselor. You really just make sure you put it on your calendar, schedule some time, usually 10 or 15 minutes for the progress monitoring and about 20 to 30 minutes for the session. And the kids pretty much do all the work. There's really not that much work involved with the adult.
And one of the things that's standing out for me in all of this is that you really situate the team as true collaborators, right? It sounds like they have a lot of personal agency in this, and they have a lot of say in how this goes down or how it comes together. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we don't make the kids on the team do anything. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't suggest really anything. They come up with the plan themselves. And if there's something that's missing, we might ask, well, what did this student, like Allie, say that she needed? Where was she getting bullied the most, or in what areas? So we kind of like lead them just to remember what that student was saying. But for the most part, the kids do everything, and they're really focused on making sure that they can reach that wish for that student.
Yeah. And it's pretty amazing how once you empower the students and give them that opportunity to make a difference, how much responsibility they take. Because I think so often they're put in a position where I'm going to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you step by step. I'm the expert. I know what you should do to fix this problem. But once we're in a position of like helplessness, we've had school police involved, parents, board members, and we can't get this to stop. And we're really asking you guys to really step up, make a difference. You've been identified as most powerful kids on campus. And let's see if you guys can make a difference. They really step up to that expectation and reach that and exceed it. And they take so much pride in showing like we can actually do better than the adults can.
That's great. Why do you think this works?
It works because we put the emphasis on the students. Mm-hmm. We give the students that agency to be able to make a difference. And another reason it works is because we don't blame and we don't shame any of the students that are doing the bullying behavior. I know as a parent myself, I don't want to have a school call me and say, your kid is a bully, do something about it. And I'm not at school to monitor them. So that's something that I love this intervention, because it allows a student who when they learn empathy, they can see how their behavior has had an impact on another student, and they can make it better, which is that restorative piece right there. And without them having to identify themselves as the person that's doing the bullying behavior. And the students know and they see, but sometimes they're graceful enough to say, okay, let's do this together. And sometimes we have students who out other students, and even the students doing the bullying behavior, we've had that happen. I just had it the other week where a student said, I've been doing this. And so part of my plan is I want to apologize to that student. Mm. And I mean, that's why this works, because we're not saying, we know you did this. We're giving them that power.
Mm. That's great.
And more of a reason why it's effective, as well as it's so playful.
Yeah. I mean,
what kid doesn't like the whole idea of undercover agents and Mission Impossible, Secret mm-hmm. Service, they get badges. They have a pledge where they're sworn in officially to the team. And the other piece that they really appreciate is the whole idea of the feedback. They love hearing how what they are doing is making a difference, like because of my plan. It's not because of what Michelle or Stephanie told me to do. It's because of what I suggested that was going to be effective and it actually made a difference. And everyone on the team has equal value and privilege. So there's not like a star team member. It's not like, you know, the number one undercover team member. Everybody has that equal value on the team where they're all the most powerful kids that can make a difference. So I think collectively what Stephanie said and everything that we've described, it's just a genius approach to really solving a serious problem.
Yeah. So how do you measure effectiveness, or what has been your experience about outcomes?
So we first and foremost measure through the perception of the student who is being bullied. We also measure through the feedback from the team and how they see how the environment is changing and becoming more positive, especially for the student who is getting bullied. We also see the documentation of misbehaviors for students who are doing bullying often go down. So with Carla, she had been suspended prior to us coming in and facilitating an undercover team. And all of her high-level office referrals went drastically down once she was a part of this team. So that was really amazing to see.
You want to add anything, Michelle?
Sure. So pretty much, it's evaluated mainly through the perception of the kiddo who's being bullied. Mm. So when we talked about Allie in the beginning, when she rated the bullying at a 35, mainly we want to see from her experience, how are things now? Because Stephanie's not getting bullied, I'm not getting bullied, so we can't judge the effectiveness of the team. We really look towards the student to say, how are your, what is your experience? Is it changing? And then like Stephanie said, then we also invite the teachers and other adults to give us feedback on what they notice, and we look at office referrals. And gladly, Carla wasn't suspended after the team was started for bullying towards Allie. So we look at a range of different types of data, but mainly from the student who's being bullied.
Okay, one last question. What are some things people should be on the lookout that might get tricky or that have, you know, could throw you a curveball?
So Michelle and I train, when we're training, we always say that whatever you think could happen might happen, and it has happened. So for example, students on the team outing the student who's doing the bullying, and that has happened many times. Or like I said before, the student who's doing the bullying self-professes that they're doing the bullying. The biggest thing that we suggest is staying true to the process and really focusing on the student's story, that it's not about what happened. It's not about the student who's doing the bullying. It's really about changing the experience of the student who's getting bullied. And so that's really where we move the conversation toward. So not feeling that you're going to get derailed because of a hiccup like that. We've also have had parents call and say, I know my student's doing the bullying. Why are they on the team? So we always assure them, you know, your student is a leader and they have the ability to help change the experience of this student. And again, we move the conversation in a way that focuses on the student who needs the support. And it's okay that people know or students know things that we're not explicitly saying. Like, yes, the student's on the team because they're doing the bullying. We just don't talk about it because it's not important to our intervention.
And some other hiccups, like what Stephanie was saying, we've had everything from students outing themselves to the students on the team outing the kids who were doing the bullying, parents, to even the team not keeping it confidential. We've seen that happen too. Sometimes the students getting the support will tell other students because it's supposed to be covert, undercover, top secret, you know, mission. But everything you can think of that might go wrong or happen has happened with us. And the reason why we say that is because when we first started doing this, that kind of created a sense of panic for me. Because in that 6-page article, I was like, Dr. Winslade, there's nowhere in this article that addresses all of these things that they're not supposed to say that. They're not supposed to out themselves. Their parents aren't supposed to out their own kid. And I felt like, oh my gosh, it's going to damage the process. But it really hasn't. It really hasn't damaged the novelty and the uniqueness of the intervention. So we just want to encourage you, even if you feel like you get to a roadblock, a hiccup, or a speed bump, to just stick with the premise. Just keep trudging along, and it hasn't damaged the outcome yet.
Wonderful. Okay. All right. So I guess we got to let the listeners know that you have a bunch of resources if people want to take this up, right? And I have them as well. So, but I know people might have questions for the both of you and want to reach out to you and learn more. So would it be possible to get some contact info for you too? For
yes,
the
okay. Of course. Do you want us to say it?
Or? Yeah, sure. Fire away.
Okay. You can email me at stephanie.fletcher@sbcusd.k12.ca.us. Oh, it's the traditional spelling of Stephanie, STEPHANIE, dot Fletcher, FLETCHER.
And my email address is michelle.myers, michelle.myers, same at SB for San Bernardino City Unified, SUSB, SBCUSD.K12.CA.US. And make sure you copy Stephanie if you email me, because she's more email than I am.
So make sure you'll hear from us faster if you CC both of us, if you email both of us at the same time. Even if you have a question for Michelle, just put me on it and I'll make sure she knows that she has an email in her box.
Can you reply for me or make sure?
That's pretty funny, Michelle. I wasn't going to drag you through on that one, but that's funny.
And then that's a great way, because that's both on our phones. So,
but yeah, we have a ton of resources that we started with Mike Williams and Dr. John Winslade's resources from the Safe and Peaceful Schools book. But we've gotten feedback from counselors, or we've just kind of adjusted or altered some of the resources that we saw was more useful. So we have everything from progress monitoring team meeting notes to the badges, the agent badges, the certificates, the sample teacher letters.
Parent letters.
Yeah. So we have a whole host of resources that we can offer that are editable in Google and also Word format.
Yes. And listeners, I have it right in front of me. There's a wealth of these. They've done all the work for you. So if you reach out to them, they're being very generous to make this all available to you. And I very much appreciate that, because you all are making our world a much more peaceful place. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And thank you for your generosity in making this available to the Radical Therapist listeners. Michelle and Stephanie, thank you very much for making the time. I want to have you back. Maybe next time we can talk about circles, restorative circles or something, and just start keep talking about these practices that are going a long way to making to making our world a little more peaceful place. So thank you for coming on.
You're welcome.
Thank you for inviting us.
All right, that's our show. And they're so awesome. They're being very generous to make all these materials available to you. So take them up on it, or you can reach out to me and I can get you some of the stuff that I have. And it's wonderful. And so don't be shy. They'll be willing to help out, Stephanie and Michelle. So if you really want to learn more about this process of the undercover anti-bullying team, do not hesitate to reach out to Michelle and Stephanie, and they'd be more than happy to help you with that. So, okay. Now, just want to let you know, go find The Radical Therapist on all our social medias. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Go look for us, find us. We have a website at theradicaltherapist.com. And of course, you can always reach out to me at theradicaltherapist@gmail.com. Always love to hear from people that are listening to the show. So, and if you want some stickers, I even have a few t-shirts, but we can figure that out. So if you really want a t-shirt, I think I can get you one, but just let me know. So I think that's it for our show today. My name is Chris Hoff, and this has been The Radical Therapist. As always, thanks for listening.